Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour. It's everything you would talk about with your best friends, from sex to celebrity to entertainment.
From the editors of Cosmopolitan.com, this is the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour, the happiest hour of my week, and I'm sure yours, too. I am here. I'm Alisa Benson, social director for Cosmo, and makeshift podcast host. I'm here with Alex Reese from our entertainment department and Madeline Holler, our senior social media editor, and Danielle Tulo. Did I say your name right?
Yeah.
You know, every week when we do this, it's like I'm introducing my coworkers, and every week I realize I don't know how to say
anyone's name.
And like, what even is your title? Assistant?
Editorial assistant.
Newbie? Millennial expert? Okay. So like I just said, I always spend way too long introducing people. But we are talking this week about fall. Everyone knows fall is the best season. And so we are here to defend fall against anyone that doesn't believe that all things fall and all things basic in general are extremely wonderful and valuable. I think the very fact that we've decided to do a whole episode of a podcast just about fall speaks to how important it is, right? Do you guys all agree to start with fall is the best season? Am I right?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Right. And we're just starting here in New York City to have a bit of fall weather. It's actually been like freezing these past 2 days. Today is like rainy and disgusting. Alex, you were saying that reminds you of home.
This is a treat for me. Fall, or as we call it, autumn. In the UK, just to keep it classy, is 6 or 7 months long, pretty much. It just segues nicely into winter, and our summer is about 6 weeks. So you kind of have to love fall.
You have to love fall.
If you live in the UK.
Or you're just unhappy all the time.
Or you're even more miserable than you are because you're British.
Right.
So, you know, it's great. I'm exactly all about it.
But okay, so you have a reason to love fall, which is that you have no other choice. But like, what about the rest of us? Because I have my own theory about why people are so obsessed with fall. But Madeline and Danielle, what do you guys think?
Well,
like, can't be all the pumpkin spice, right?
No, it's I mean, it could be, but I just feel like right now what we've experienced since fall has come to New York City, this is like not what Midwest fall is like. I mean,
right.
I feel like fall in Indiana is just so magical, and it doesn't ever feel like rainy or crazy like it's been the past few days.
So basically, you actually think fall in New York City is kind of disappointing. Is
yeah. Oh, my God. It's so disappointing.
It's like hurricane
because there's, like, no nature in the actual city.
Wait, so Central. Madeline and I are both Midwestern girls. Madeline grew up in Indiana, and I did in Ohio. Are you allowed to burn leaves in Indiana?
I mean, not in South Bend from where I was from, but, like,
but you know
down near cornfields.
About.
Yeah. Like, there, everyone would just be, like, burning their piles.
Yeah. Well, that is, like, that was such a part of my childhood. And, like, I think it was one of those things that I didn't even realize until like my adult life that A, that's like really freaking dangerous and bad for the environment,
yeah,
and also B, just isn't something that happens everywhere.
There were just, I just feel like fall reminds me of fire pits, and
yeah,
you don't get any
just
of
like
that
fire
in New York
in general,
like
exactly.
Marshmallows.
I know if something is on fire in New York,
it's not
like
good.
Run. But wait, Danielle and Alex, you non-Midwesterners, do you guys know that smell of like burning leaves?
Well, see,
like,
this,
do you know what I'm talking about?
This is the thing again, because like my dad loves a bonfire.
Right.
The thing is, if you do it in England, your leaves are going to be wet. So I just remember my dad like getting a huge pile of wet
smoke
leaves,
yeah,
and then getting pissy because they couldn't actually
they
get on fire.
They don't light, or they do light
out
and they smoke.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. I remember, like, growing up when people, like, when Christy Baker used to have her, like, fall harvest party, which was, like, such a big deal. Shout out to Christy Baker. That I, like, have memories of, like, the guys trying to, like, jump over the bonfire.
Yes.
Like, that was, like, the cool pissing contest of, like, sixth grade.
Yes. But it was so bad. It's, like, so dangerous at the same time.
Right.
We did the same thing.
Madeline's eyes, for those of you who can't tell, are, like, lighting up right now. She's so excited to talk about men jumping over a fire. But, okay, Danielle, what about you? Why are you such a fall lover?
I have no idea. I'm from outside of New York City, so I'm, like, hearing this, and I'm like, is my fall a lie?
Right. It is. It is.
I love it. What
is you never had people jumping over fires and burning leaves.
We never burn leaves, ever.
No, that was such a high school thing.
That was not a thing.
The fire jumpers.
We jumped in leaves. We didn't burn them.
Yes.
Which is disgusting. And your mom's like, don't do that. You don't know what's in there.
And do you, like, maybe this was also very Midwestern, but did people do the thing where they would rake leaves into, like, a giant pumpkin bag?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was my childhood. Oh my God,
yeah. I hope that's still happening. I hope that wasn't just, like, circa the
90s. Okay,
if
kids are not raking their own leaves and then jumping in the piles and then putting them in bags,
in
we
disgusting
are doomed.
Pumpkin,
right. We're, no, that's pumpkin bags. In outside of New York City in the suburbs of New Jersey.
Okay.
I can
thank God. Thank God. And I also think it's like, even though everyone in this room except Danielle is like a million years old, I do think there's something about fall that has like that eternal back to school feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, like, you know, I think it was a few years ago in New York Magazine, they actually did this super interesting story where they're basically talking about why are people still obsessed with high school? Like, why does it occupy such like a like warm, fuzzy feeling in all of our minds? And basically one of the many interesting points they made in the article is that basically because when you're an adolescent, your brain is like developing. So your memories of your teenage life are maybe more clear than your memory of what you did a week ago, which is certainly true in my case. But I think, you know, I am taking that very interesting and intellectual article that someone that wasn't me wrote and applying it to fall to say that basically, like, I think that's part of the reason, like, we all have such strong memories of high school. And I think the idea of starting school in the fall, there's sort of a connection there.
I think it's a season that you romanticize a lot more, maybe in the
yes
same way
well
than you do anything else.
Yeah.
And like, you know, fall comes around and often in a way it is kind of dumpy, but you're still waiting for the leaves to turn or for like that crisp fall afternoon.
Yes.
And even though you kind of know it probably won't happen or it'll only happen the one day in the season,
right,
you'll still have those rose tinted glasses
right
expecting it to be perfect. I maybe like high school in that respect.
Right, exactly. And like it really does feel like it's like you could fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm hoping any day this fall to just fall in love. No, I think that's absolutely true. And even the colors of fall, you know, the sort of yes like, I think they feel very like romantic and cozy. And like, there's yeah certainly a stronger association with colors for fall than mm with like any other season. I mean, winter is just like
dead and like white.
Yeah.
Dead and white. Well, it's like snow sad blindness.
It's like, yeah,
like Indiana was the worst for that. I mean, New York, it's not like that. All the snow is
brown,
super dirty,
yeah,
and disgusting. But
we just need
snow
to do
blindness is real.
Yeah, next week we'll do an episode about how New York is actually disgusting.
Yeah,
the worst. Dispel every romantic notion that Sex and the City planted in our minds. So okay, we can't talk about fall without talking about basicness and how they've sort of converged. And I feel like even though it's now basic to define being basic, I feel like we do need to start there. Alex, do you want to kick off? Like when someone says basic, what does that mean to you?
I think being basic now is about embracing the things that you want to do, but you feel that you shouldn't because it's not aspirational or it's not like, I think being basic is living your best life without feeling like you're having to try to live your best life. And it's that disconnect
okay
that people struggle with.
There's certainly the idea of trying,
yes,
I think. Like, you are kind of a try-hard.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, everyone knows that the secret to being cool is to, like, not try at all and be really effortless.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know what that's like, but so I hear. Danielle, I feel like it's become a joke on the staff that you sort of are, like, the emoji pink shirt girl raising her hand, like, symbol for all things basic.
Yeah.
You love to be basic.
I love being basic. I'm, like, the embodiment of basic.
Okay,
what
does that
yeah
mean to you? Because I still feel like I am either, like, misusing this term or everyone's like, oh, pumpkin spice lattes are so basic. I'm like, well, I love pumpkin spice lattes, so, like, why are they basic? They taste good.
So I've been considered basic like, since
what?
I was in college. It's always been
you're
a
like,
thing.
Like, since the womb.
I came out branded basic.
That emoji.
My hand was just
But I think it's because I'm not shy about the things I'm obsessed with, and I'm obsessed with I'm not original. Like, I am my own person, but also I love the things that everyone else is really into.
Right.
Because things are trendy, and, like, when things are trendy, I, like, am a sucker for them, and I think it's cool, too. And I think because I'm not trying to be...
You feel no shame about
it. I feel no shame about being obsessed with my yoga pants, my Ray-Bans
right.
and my pumpkin spice latte. Like, that is wonderful and, like, amazing, and I'm not going to pretend it's not.
Right.
And I think that it's just, like, I'm, like, the picture of, like, a basic girl because I will wear all of that stuff together and I will...
And you will own it.
And I'll own
for
it.
Sure. And I think, like, Madeline, to speak to your point a little bit, because, like, Danielle, I kind of agree with you. Like, I'm very much an owner of all the embarrassing, completely mainstream and cliche things that I like, in part because I just like to like everything. I feel like it's part of my brand.
I agree.
Universal obsession. But, you know, Madeline, I think to your point, I think sort of the evolution or the idea of sort of making fun of being basic is almost the girl that doesn't really realize it. Like the girl who's like, I'm obsessed with pumpkin spice lattes. And it's like, well, of course, pumpkin spice has become a $1 billion like industry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like literally everyone in the world is obsessed with that. It's not necessarily the defining characteristic of your personality.
Right.
And so, like, I feel like that was sort of where there started to be some criticism around the term, which is a little different now because you have people like Danielle and, like, me and, like, Lauren Conrad who are like, I'm happy to be basic.
Yeah. I have a friend who refuses to be considered basic, and I break it down for her, and I'm like, you are considered basic because you love the pumpkin spice latte and all of those things that are considered basic. And there's nothing wrong with that.
So is it basically like you're just, over-enthusiastic or you really love things that everybody else loves and then it's just...
Well, I think that... Yeah.
I don't know. Like, yes, no. Alex, you feel like...
Can I phone a friend?
I feel like the difference
phone
is...
Phone a friend.
Thank God.
For me, the difference, at least in terms of what the word means to many people now versus maybe like what it started as when it was less... Because it's kind of cool to be basic now.
Yes.
Let's be real, it is. Like, and when it maybe wasn't, I feel like that's when you were tagging along because of peer pressure. Like, you secretly hated pumpkin spice lattes.
Right.
But you were still going to order them because everybody else was.
Well, they can't
like, you were going to be kind of a Gretchen Wieners. Like, if we're going to take Mean Girls. Whereas now, like,
yeah,
if you just like your
Ray-Bans
and your yoga pants and you're going to wear them and you don't care, like, that's being basic, but it's a different kind of basic.
Because it's a kind
I
of
think.
Confidence, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
And I like this stuff. I'm not pretending to like it. I actually do.
I think I love that you referenced Gretchen Wieners, and I feel like it was perfect in an episode about being basic and being fall to mention that movie. But I also think we've brought up Mean Girls in basically at least 2 out of 4 of our Cosmo podcast so far. It's like we can't get through an hour of our lives at Cosmo without talking about Mean Girls. On Mean Girls Day, oh, by the time this airs, I guess it will have just been Mean Girls Day.
There you go.
Oh, we recorded this in the past. I don't know. But what was it? No, I think that's absolutely true. And I totally just lost my train of thought. Madeline, maybe this is
a
good time. No, Madeline, I want you to, as we're talking about Starbucks and fall, I want you to cue up this like hilarious Vine video that you produce and starred in and directed for Cosmo's Vine.
Hopefully this doesn't like...
Everybody follow us on Vine. It's Madeline's little like
it's
weird...
It's my like passion project.
Yeah, passion project. I like how it's like it's weird at the same time that you're like passion project.
So it's just gonna loop. I guess before we like go into it, it's kind of a joke.
Set up the clip.
The caption is pumpkin spice latte versus toasted graham latte, and it says the battle of the basics. Just because now that the new toasted graham latte has come out, that's everyone's latest obsession, and that's all they want to talk about. I think that was kind of last year when they had that praline latte, which was good, and then they discontinued it. But whatever, I digress.
Right. So this is basically a 6 second, and it loops. So it's longer than that. We'll play it for maybe 10 seconds. But this is Madeline talking to one of the other editors on our team.
God, PSL.
TGO.
PSL.
TGO.
BSL.
TGO.
PSL.
Oh my God, PSL.
TGO.
PSL.
TGO.
BSL.
TGO.
I just like love that. Like, I feel like that just like epitomizes like what it means to be a millennial in fall today. Like,
okay. I'm just going to say, when we sent that out on Twitter, everyone was on my side and they were like, PSL is what you need to be drinking. No one wanted the new one. Sorry, Starbucks. Like,
still
love you.
I like the new one. I like it.
It's like, yeah, but it's not like a pumpkin spice latte.
Right, it's not the classic PSL. And I think we do need to address, I can't believe we haven't already, but there was a new pumpkin spice latte this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So probably everyone saw that news because, like, hello, do you not, do you live under a rock? Do you live under an empty Starbucks cup?
But that didn't have a pumpkin spice in it.
Exactly, exactly. Like, do you drink the coffee at Starbucks? Ew. But Starbucks announced this year that they were modifying their pumpkin spice recipe. And basically, you know, I think one of the criticisms of it historically was it doesn't have real pumpkin in it. So they added in some new pumpkin this year. You know, I don't really know if I can even tell that it tastes different. I loved it last year. I loved it this year. You can tell.
No, I can't.
I know, but it's like, I want to think that I can tell. Yeah. It's delicious.
It's like, oh, this is so natural. Mm.
Yeah. But like, I kind of think this whole idea is hilarious because pumpkin spice is something you can buy in the spice aisle, you know, at Walmart or whatever. Like, it's sort of pumpkin spice as a thing predates the PSL Starbucks explosion.
Yeah.
And pumpkin spice that you buy in a spice aisle is a spice that's like cinnamony. Like, it doesn't necessarily, pumpkin spice doesn't necessarily mean that something actually has pumpkin
in it. Right.
Yeah. It's like everyone thinks about that.
It's like, my whole life, a lie again.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I think it's cool that Starbucks, like, responded to it and sort of modified their recipe. And I think they really do care about what they're putting, you know, into their food and everything like that. But, like, it felt a little unfair to me to criticize this pumpkin spice latte for not having real pumpkin in it. Because I don't necessarily know that that's what pumpkin spice needs to mean.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just I mean, if you look at, like, Dunkin' Donuts, they have pumpkin coffee. And it's like they're not putting actual pumpkin. And like, you know what I mean? It's right, just like, yeah. Get over yourself.
But even it's just like a pumpkin flavoring is a different thing.
It's a flavor.
Than pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
Exactly. But so that was like my whole beef about it. And also on that note, we did a story on cosmopolitan.com last year that was really popular, that was confessions of a Starbucks barista. And one of the things that she mentioned that I have to bring up now because I want to like totally co-sign it is this girl who worked at Starbucks and dished all kinds of secrets about it said that the best thing on the menu is the pumpkin cream cheese muffin. Have you guys had it?
No.
It's one of the seasonal things. It is so good. Like, something about when I read this whole story that was, like, fascinating and all this, like, gossip she's saying about working at Starbucks. But the one thing that stuck in my mind was her being, like, the pumpkin cream cheese muffin is everything and more. So, like, I went to Starbucks and bought one, and it's true.
How interesting.
It's, like, I don't know. Like, it's like a pumpkin bread, but with a little, like, sweet dollop of, like, cream cheese in the center. And it's, like, the perfect mix of sort of, like, sweet, but not, like, cloyingly so.
Right.
It's so good. It's actually might be better than a PSL, and I love PSLs.
Whoa. It's like everyone in the room gasps.
I was hoping someone else would have had one, but now I'm just like doing an ode to the pumpkin.
I can't believe that I've never had one.
Yeah. No, it's so good. So anyway, like, that right is now. Real. That is
it's
real.
Like after this field trip.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. From the editors of Cosmopolitan.com, this is the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
So I want to switch the conversation a little bit from Starbucks to talking about entertainment, which is like Alex's area of expertise, because I feel like that is the other thing that is like so great about fall. It's the return of all the good TV shows, the launch of everything new. What are you feeling excited about in terms of entertainment?
I think, well, fall TV is the big thing. It's, you know, fall is the season where you can cancel your plans because you want to stay in sweatpants and watch TV, and it's a legitimate excuse.
Yes.
It's a legitimate excuse whenever, but it's particularly the case in fall. This season, Scream Queens.
Scream Queens.
Scream Queens, Scream Queens, Scream Queens. And it's perfect for fall. Chanel, Emma Roberts, fantastic character, loves her PSLs.
Yes. And she has said that she was inspired, actually read this in a post you wrote, that she said she was inspired a little by the, like, Regina George character.
Yes.
Just to bring up Mean Girls for the...
There you go. Well, yes, we've got to bring it back.
Yes.
I just think it's a lot of fun as a show. It's funny because... you know, it's a slasher, it's a serial killer. For me, watching it, the death scenes are my least favorite part, just because the dialogue and the campiness
is
and
so
the characters
good.
Living
yes.
is much better than them,
them dying.
Being ripped to pieces or yes. whatever horrible thing is happening this week. But
yes, and Alex, I feel like I partly wanted you to come on the podcast this week just because I'm also obsessed with Scream Queens, and so it's like, how can we just make an episode oh. where we get to talk about it? But like, for those of you that haven't seen it, it's sort of Ryan Murphy's take on sort of like evil sorority girls. Yes. So Emma Roberts plays Chanel, who's like queen bee at the sorority, but like potentially has a like super evil side.
Yes.
So she's sort of like, it's sort of very this satirical look at sort of hazing within a sorority and that like queen bee mentality, but then also has this entire campy element of like people are literally getting murdered by a mysterious like devil character. So it's a bit of that sort of like mean girl sorority thing, but also with literal death.
I mean, in the past, I mean, I'll give a slight spoiler.
Yes.
In the past episode, one of the fraternity brothers was literally, he had his arms chopped off by a chainsaw. So, I mean, you'll go from this discussion of, oh my gosh, what am I going to wear with my Chanel purse to...
Right.
Death. But this was also to like the tune
that was
of
such a tame
phone.
Chainsaw.
right.
The sweetest sounding.
Like
it's like an electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe that'll be a few episodes. Who knows what'll come up. But it's just, yeah, it's just, it's really good fun. I think you have to take it very much kind of tongue in cheek.
Yes.
The jokes, a lot of them do play close to the edge for my liking.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's Ryan Murphy and that's how he does things. The show actually was originally, I read in one interview that he'd done, a spin-off from American Horror Story, The Coven Season,
oh.
just with that idea of like a, you know, again, the kind of bitchy sisterhood
right.
where they all hate each other, but they are all kind of bound together by this something. So
right.
there's really fascinating elements of, you know, inverted commas sisterhood, but also not inverted commas sisterhood, and how that deals with, you know, internal and external horror as
right.
such. It's great fun.
I feel like it's the most excited I've been about a TV show
yes.
in a long time. There's just something about it that really, like, sizzles to, like, you say something non-descriptive. I don't know. It's just so over the top. But it also, this is also not going to be descriptive of anything, but this show just feels very 2015 to me.
Mm.
And I don't mean just in the way that they, as we were discussing before this started, they reference pumpkin spice lattes
yes.
in the show. So, like, yes, the references are contemporary, but I just mean the whole style of the show. This just does not feel like something that would have been on TV,
no.
you know, a decade ago and probably not even 3 years ago. I think
definitely. And I mean, I think that's even reflected. This is kind of like industry and maybe not super interesting, but even in the viewership, like when the Nielsen ratings came out the day after the 2 hour premiere, which was fantastic, like so much engagement online. Everybody, you know, everybody had heard so much about it. They're watching along. The ratings were kind of terrible.
Right.
Really bad. Because the way people now watch these shows, they're going to watch it on Hulu and they're going to catch up 2 days later.
Right.
And
can you get it on Hulu?
Huge boosts. I think so, yeah.
Okay. I feel so bad because I'm like so behind on it.
No, you should watch it.
It's like, I see people going crazy on Twitter whenever it's on. Like, everyone live tweeting it.
Yeah.
Just like
it's such a thing,
yeah,
like so much buzz around it,
yeah.
But yeah, and I think, like, I don't know, at this point, like, I feel like it's stressful to be like, it's like, why would I want to be at my couch at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday? Like, who has time for that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I definitely think we've moved into the phase where people aren't planning their lives around TV
shows,
anymore,
right.
Exactly. Whereas, like, I certainly remember, like, being an old person in the room that it wasn't, you know, that long ago that it was, like, if you do want to watch something, you're, like, home at that time to do it.
Yeah.
Or, like, recording over, like, important family videos on a VCR, like, literally back in the day.
VCRs.
That's, like, all of our family videos from, like, childhood, like, of me and my sisters when we were babies just have, like, you know, some, like, Lifetime TV movie. Like,
I, like, legit dropped out of a sports team because the practices were going to clash with Buffy the Vampire Slayer one season. Like, no question. I had to go home because it was Buffy.
That is one classic TV show I've never seen. Can you believe it?
I mean, it does and doesn't surprise me because I think that's the thing. Like, either you got into Buffy really early and then you're a shameless junkie about it, but it's not super accessible.
But yeah, I feel like it's so iconic. I watched the movie a million times.
Okay.
Because, I don't know. The movie is really good.
See,
that's like really old school.
But like, I think... Actually, you could make an argument for Buffy and shows like that being of their day, the equivalent of a Scream Queens or something, because they were so entrenched in the pop culture of the time, and shamelessly so, which I think is the thing.
Right.
So
Shameless. That's a good point. You have to be a little like shameless about it.
That's what distinguishes the best shows this season. Like another of my favorites is How to Get Away with Murder.
Yes.
I love it. It's death. It's just death. That's obviously what I'm realizing. But again, it's like it doesn't
need more.
Just need more. But you know, it's serious topics at hand again, but it doesn't take itself seriously in the delivery.
Right.
And I think that's important. And maybe that's a little bit basic as well,
Right. Oh my God,
it works
really
well. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So, Danielle, poster girl for all things basic, what are you excited about on TV this fall? Are you watching anything? You're like so millennial. Do you even have a TV?
I honestly watch things. I don't really watch things on TV.
Right.
Will
watch them on your phone or whatever.
I see, yeah, like follow phone. Along on Twitter.
Do you watch them on your Apple?
I do not watch on my Apple Watch.
Danielle and
I would.
Yeah, Danielle and I both got Apple Watches recently, and the difference between the two of us is like I don't even barely know how to check the time on mine, and she's like,
and Danielle basically like wrote the entire manual. She knows everything about
it. She wrote an article for Cosmopolitan.com about all the tricks, and like I was like, I don't know how to put mine in airplane mode as we're like, anyway, this is so boring. I don't know how to do things. Okay, go on. So you watch things not on your watch, but on your
if I could watch on my watch, I would. I watch things on my laptop mostly. I have a Hulu account, so I'll catch up on things there. But like getting into live TV,
So you're basically not even interested in like the fall TV lineup.
Yeah, to me that just, yeah, and that's not a part. I love fall, but that's not something that excites me. Being in sweatpants and being like, I'm in sweatpants and chilling because it's cool out and I want to like hang out, that speaks to me. But the TV show thing, now that I hear you guys are talking about it, I'll go and I'll watch it on Hulu.
Well, but I think that's been one of the challenges for the TV industry is people are like, well, I just want to watch 13 episodes on Netflix. Like, I don't really care about...
Oh, God, yeah, I don't want to wait for the next one.
Right.
Yeah. And I know that sounds horrible, but it's like, full.
Binge watch.
Who's the patience for that?
Yeah. I feel like I always talk about that shift in how, like, I feel like a few years ago it would have been embarrassing to be like, oh, like, all I did this weekend was watch TV. And now that has become a weird badge of honor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like, you know, you even see that on Twitter, especially, like, when Orange is the New Black, the new season is released, like, the people live tweeting it, like, feeling tired but fighting off sleep to power through. Yeah. It's like, when did it become cool to be like, I literally have nothing to do with 14 hours of my life instead of watch TV? But, like, now that has, I mean, it's just been such a shift. That's so normal now. Ah, this always happens. The lights just went out.
Oh my gosh.
This is the Halloween part of the fall episode.
I know. Like, this is what we get for talking about Scream Queens.
I don't actually even know.
Okay, there they go. All right. Is everyone still alive? Okay, like roll call. Roll call.
My hands are sweating.
Exactly. What am I saying exactly to you?
Watching TV for hours.
That's basic. That's basic.
I think it's also Netflix to do with like the cult of fandom. Like, you know, you have to be a dedicated fan if you're going to follow something these days. Because there's so much out there. So you kind of, you know, you pick your poison and you kind of have to sign up hardcore.
Right.
So being able to say whether it's on, you know, it's like a Twitter post saying, I did spend my whole day watching this. And that means I care about this more than you do.
That's a good point. I also just like that rise and like it's cool to like be hardcore, like part of a fandom in a way that maybe a few years ago that would have seemed like.
Because watching something week by week, you kind of can drop in and out. Whereas if you commit to a binge watch.
That's true.
Like it's a commitment.
That's
whereas
true.
Whereas an hour, maybe you switch over on the commercials. Maybe you went out to get ice cream. This is my life.
like I'm talking about my week.
I'm like, yep,
how about you?
that's a different way of doing your viewing in a sense.
I also think it goes to being shameless, which you were talking about before. Yeah. It's being shameless and not being afraid to be like, I watched like 15 hours of Netflix this weekend. Like if you tweet about watching Netflix for hours, you're gonna get retweets and favorites because it's like everyone is so into people shameless about that stuff right now, and I think that's pretty basic.
Okay,
can I also say though, just coming from like a social media standpoint, I feel like so many people that are tweeting about being like, I'm in my sweats and like watching Netflix, like, no, you're probably not. Like, or people that will like,
think people lie.
I think people fake it. Like, I feel like they fake trying to be like the cool chill girl, you know.
So maybe it's lying like, about being in sweatpants is the new lying about like, being out at the bar.
Basically,
like, that's what
yes.
it is.
Wow. That's a really interesting point. Yeah, it does get a little tiresome.
Or just like the Instagrams
sort
of like all the food, or like the burgers. burgers and the fries and like all the ice cream you're eating, but yeah. it's just kind of like, we get it, right. you know? I just right. like, I've seen so much of it.
Tired of basicness?
I don't know. I mean, I like Netflix and sweatpants, but I don't know if I'm like gonna tweet about it.
Well, yeah, it's certainly become generic. Like, it's sort of like, okay, we get it. Like, everyone has tweeted about like how I literally haven't even moved in 48
yeah,
hours,
or like
on a Sunday.
Can't get off the couch, can't right, get out of bed.
Right.
It's like the new,
you guys
like,
just not look at my Twitter.
It's like the new, like the Netflix tweet is like the new I can't find any bobby pins tweet. Like right.
we've
said
all,
that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like somebody funnier than me like made some joke about like they had some clever thing about like tweet deja vu, but like, do you ever go to tweet something and then you're like, have I actually tweeted this like at least once before?
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't yeah. tweet anything except for like coffee tweets.
Yeah,
I feel like mine just sounds like a broken record,
right?
So I can't talk.
It's just like we all only have one idea. Everyone has one idea. Like, it's just
like
the
I have nothing
thing.
Else to say.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all I have to say, I've just said in this podcast, which is basically like, I love Paul.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
Oh, I did want to ask you if you guys have tried anything particularly crazy that's pumpkin spice flavored. I had a Hershey's Kiss the other day. It was good.
Oh, I saw Charlotte put one of those on Snapchat.
Oh, she did. Yeah. You're like, I yeah. saw that.
She's
on
like,
her
what the hell is this? This isn't chocolate.
Oh my God. Like, that was so crazy and millennial and meta that you're like, I haven't eaten it, but I saw it
on Snapchat. My life is social.
Oh my God.
I've made pumpkin spice cocktails before,
ooh.
Which oh. are good, but also kind of are like, is it good?
I don't know. Was it good?
Like, it's... I feel the way about all pumpkin spice stuff where it's sort of like... First of all, I do really like the pumpkin spice lattes. So it's like, I would maybe rather just be drinking that. You know, it's like, do I really need a cocktail that weirdly tastes like a cold, alcoholic pumpkin spice mm-hmm. latte? I don't know.
So that's kind of with the syrup, right? That's the base for...
Yeah,
I think see that working.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like pumpkin cocktails like rear their head every year, like around this time. Yeah. But it's sort of like, I don't know. Do you really want to drink that?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I've had pumpkin beer, you
yeah.
know what I mean? But I've never had it.
I love pumpkin
liquor wise.
I yeah. once went to a Halloween party where they used like a carved out pumpkin as the like big pitcher,
oh,
and that was really nice because I don't know exactly what was in it, but it did have like a slight,
oh.
not a pumpkin spice flavor, but there
right.
was like a little pumpkin hint to
oh
whatever
God.
It was that was inside.
So,
that
like,
was lovely.
Wait,
was
the beverage
drank a lot
was
of that.
Like right inside of the pumpkin.
Yeah,
dips?
Like they had just carved out a big pumpkin, but not just, you know, hollowed it out.
Yeah,
and then the drinks were in there.
Oh.
It was a really, really nice. It was a clever thing. For a Halloween party.
How did you get it out? Like with a ladle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I became really interested in like precise.
Elise is going to like steal that idea. She's like,
yeah. Wait, was this back in London or was this in New York?
Yeah, this was London. This was last Halloween. Yeah.
Oh, those Brits.
I know.
Interesting.
We took a while to come around to Halloween, but we can hold our own now.
Yeah. What are you going to be for Halloween this year?
I think
Alex?
This year I'm going to be a sexy manatee.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Please wear that to the office.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
please.
I've been going back and forth. I also really liked the idea of doing this is a little controversial, a Kim Davis Richards costume,
oh
which would be a little bit Kim Davis and a little bit Kim Richards.
Right. That is controversial.
Yeah.
Oh my
it's
God.
Probably just the manatee.
Right. The nice, like, non-controversial
yeah.
manatee. Danielle, what about you?
I don't know. I'm stressing about it because it's my first real world Halloween.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I'm just getting really nervous. Like, what do people dress like in the real world for Halloween?
I would have thought that's less pressure because isn't, like, collegiate Halloween a huge
so
deal?
Oh, it was
yes.
insane. I feel like you would go out and then you'd have to have different... If you went out more than one night, you'd have to
four
have different...
Costumes.
Exactly,
I was
yeah.
four things last
oh
year. I don't even know if I can remember. I was
I feel
the emoji
tired.
Girls.
The emoji girls.
Oh, that's
I'm
good.
The leotard girls?
Yeah.
That's cute.
That's super cute.
I think it was like a
you had so many costumes you can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I guess you don't do it in the real world, which is nice, but also like...
Oh, yeah, you do. I mean, if you have like things to go to.
Okay. But like, you know, tight skirts and stuff? Are you, am I gonna look like the dumb girl who just graduated college, or like,
no, I feel, you know? I mean, you know how New York is, you can like do what, yeah, you feel here. Like, people dress like it's Halloween every day of the year in New York, so it's like literally you could do anything you feel. Madeline, what are you gonna be?
I just can't, I have no idea, it's stressing me out.
I'm curious, have any of you guys ever worn one of those like Yandy costumes? That site is one of my just favorite October, yes, things to click on, with like a sexy, this year, yeah, they've got like a sexy orange wedge costume,
yes, and I love sexy it. I love it. Donald Trump they have, yes. So basically Yandy.com is this like site that they sell like club wear,
yes,
like the club dresses, freakum dresses, as our boss Amy would say. But they also sell like a huge assortment of Halloween costumes, and they almost seem in on the joke because they're all sexy, but it is ridiculous,
yeah,
like they have like sexy Christmas tree and like sexy Donald Trump.
Sexy,
it's funny because, yeah, I remember in college the big thing was like everyone would go to the campus like Halloween store, which was open year round because I don't know, people would throw theme parties and they'd make bank. But theirs were like the traditional sexy costumes that you would expect.
Right, it's like oh, Legs Avenue.
Yeah, it's, yes, like, oh, look, it's a sexy cop or a nurse or, right, like, yeah, a witch or whatever. But I feel like what's funny with that website is some of the stuff is so random. It's like, oh, it's, this is a lobster, but it's, yeah, sexy.
The lobster, the sexy lobster costume is cute, actually. The
little sexy jellyfish. Sexy, like, that is a running joke I have with our managing editor, Ali Martel, is the sexy jellyfish. It is a revelation.
I want to be a sexy pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah.
I think I should. If you're not that, I just won't know
what
if I can.
What are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do it.
That's your costume. It's done.
Woo,
like, decided.
Yay, thanks, guys.
I was thinking about actually being Chanel from Scream Queens. But the thing is, no one would get it unless I had somebody that was like the Red Devil from the show as well. Because otherwise, I'll just like, people will be like, oh, you're just like a blonde person in pink. Like, it's like, are you Barbie? Are you Elle Woods? Are
but
you?
Then you,
yeah,
can just
you need
tell
that.
Them something like horribly offensive, and they'll be like, oh, now
that's
I get it.
True.
You just get to be a bitch.
Yeah,
all day.
It will be my excuse for being bitchy. I love that. I love that. I think it's so appropriate that this episode, this podcast about fall and basicness has just turned into us talking about Halloween, which is like the epitome of both
I
fall
think so.
And
oh,
basicness.
I love Halloween
exactly.
so much.
Exactly.
Which is why I feel like under immense pressure that I have no idea what I'm going to be.
Right. Girl, get on it.
I know.
Well, we'll check in with you every week until Halloween. We can have a running
like
list of what
email.
Cosmopolitan.com staffers are going to be for Halloween. I'm sure everyone really deeply cares. But I think that's about it for today. Do you guys have any final thoughts on fall or pumpkin spice or burning leaves or what you're going to be for Halloween or Scream Queens?
Well, we're all going to go get that muffin now.
Yes, get the muffin.
I advise everyone else to do the same.
Yeah, I really talked that up.
You did, and if it's bad, I'm going to be so upset.
No, you're going to love it. I stand by it. I'm never wrong.
I just want to say chunky sweaters. Like, again,
chunky
one
sweaters.
Last thing, just fall and chunky sweaters.
Boots.
Yes.
Yes.
Boots.
Yes.
Oh yeah, is this like a favorite fall things moment?
I mean, mine's already pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah. Mine's been said, chunky sweaters, oversized sweaters,
yeah.
Jackets right now. I love what you're wearing.
Oh,
you guys are wearing
girl.
Like the same shade. It's like the hunter
we are,
green.
We do kind of match.
Yeah.
I love a green
jacket.
We're both
wearing like
the
army green. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like utility kind of thing. I know, it is so fall.
Oh, it's so fall.
I have been really into this fall. This will be my thing and then we can wrap it up. But like chic little white pumpkins.
Oh. Mm.
Or like there's even some blue ones floating around.
Wait, that
blue
have been painted
pumpkin?
Those colors?
No, like actually, yeah, naturally like that. Like I feel like the white ones have been around for a while, but I've started to see like almost like ones that are like blue and gray. I don't know.
What?
I love a
bring
good
them
orange
in the office.
Pumpkin too. I will. I'll bring them.
Decorate our desks.
Yeah.
We should have a competition or something.
We should. They actually do that.
Funkiest pumpkin.
Funkiest pumpkin. I love it. They actually do that at Hearst, which is like the company that owns Cosmo. They do a pumpkin carving contest every year in the cafeteria. It's so cute.
Oh my gosh.
And the ones from Popular. No, the ones from Popular Mechanics or whatever are always like. Like, you know, like electronic or something.
I'm not above sabotaging the competition.
No.
Yeah. My God, we have to win the pumpkin contest.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And thank you to my lovely co-hosts. I just want to end. You guys should shout out your Twitter handles so everyone knows where to tweet at you about how basic you are.
Danielle Tulo. Do I spell it?
Yeah. Go for it, girl.
Follow me. D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E-T-U-L-L-O.
I like it.
Oh my god, that was fun.
That was worst. That was really good. Mine's just at Madeline_Haller. I really don't want to spell it out, but you guys can Google it and it'll be there.
Okay, perfect. Google it.
Internet.
I'm at maybe Alex is lost.
No, we need to tell it today. And I am at Lisa Benson. ElisaBenson. Thank you guys for tuning in to Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour. See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.